Welcome. Great to see you guys today. Thank you for joining us. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for being a part of our services today. Glad you guys are here. Please pray for your pastor. I had emergency dental work Friday, so that's why my face is swollen. Normally, my face is swollen from Mexican food, but today it's actually swollen from dental work. So I do apologize. I look like I'm storing nuts in my cheeks, but I'm actually not. And so, but it does hurt. So anyways, glad you guys are here. Are you guys excited about the series? Because I am fired up about waiting well. Let me tell you, all of us have a weight in our life. This is one thing I've learned, that no one gets around this. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, have no education or more degrees than a thermometer, we all have to wait. If you are super spiritual, you still have to wait. In other words, all of us feel like we're waiting for something in our lives. And so I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, like for me, I'm still waiting for a Super Bowl. Hasn't happened yet for the Texans. I'm believing God for that before I die. Please, Lord, please let that happen. So anyways, but I mean, I'm waiting, right? What are you waiting for? We're all waiting for something. I remember when I was single, when I was dating Jessica, we were about to get married. We decided to wait to honor God before we slept together. And I just knew Jesus was going to come back the night of my honeymoon. I just knew it. I'm going to be carrying her across the threshold in the hotel. The sky's going to split. They're going to be like, wait, I just maybe need a couple minutes. Probably not even that. And so I'm just saying, I just knew, you know, I was waiting. I was trying to honor God, right? And so what are you waiting on? Maybe for you, we're joking around, but maybe for you, you've been waiting on getting pregnant. And that's tough because, you know, what if you're waiting on that, and it seems like all your girlfriends, right, and their husbands, they get pregnant, right? They're like, oh, they call you up, we're pregnant. And you're like, that's great. I'm so happy for you. It's hard, isn't it? Because you are happy for them. But you're like, God, why does it seem like you give everyone the thing I want, but I'm waiting for it still? You ever been waiting for the promotion? It feels like the boss doesn't even know you're there. You're like, Lord, I feel like you've promised me that I'm going to have opportunity, but is it ever going to happen for me? Maybe you're single and you're like, Lord, I'm waiting for a mate. I can't even get a date. Lord, I need your help, right? You're like, God, I feel like this wait is forever. Maybe you're waiting to overcome a struggle that you feel like you should already be past it, but it just keeps coming back. Maybe you're waiting for someone close to you to quit making bad decisions. And they're hurting themselves and hurting your family, and they don't even see it in themselves. You ever wanted success for someone more than they wanted it? Wanted better choices for them more than they want? You're like, I'm just waiting for them to get wisdom, to get past this foolishness, right? And so what are you waiting on? We're all waiting on something, every one of us. And so what do you do in the wait? That's what we're going to talk about today. And today we're going to talk about a guy named Abraham. This guy had a serious weight on his hands. God told him he was going to have a baby. He's going to have a child. And it took a long time before that came to pass. And so what did he do in the in-between? What do you do while you are waiting? Because we all end up in God's waiting room, don't we? Lord, I just wish you'd come through. And I've learned this about God. He's seldom early, but he's never late. He will come through for you. So let's unpack that today. First of all, Abram was his name. His name was Abram, then God changed it to Abraham. But you know, Abram actually means, Abe means father, and Ram means exalted. This guy's name is Exalted Father, and he's 75 years old and childless. Let's be honest, wouldn't that be a little embarrassing? You're like, God, did you have to give me the name, like, Exalted Father when I'm not even a dad? Like, that's a terrible name for me, God, because I don't even have children, right? So when they introduced him, you know, we met people, it's like, hi, what's your name? My name's Exalted Father. Oh, you must have kids. No, what? But your name's Exalted Father. And then God changes his name to Abraham, which means father of multitudes. Oh, it gets worse. Now I'm the father of nations. He's like, oh, so tell me about your kids. I don't have any. Can you imagine that? Here's what I love about that. God speaks to you not as you are today. He speaks to you as he knows you'll become. Isn't that cool? So God speaks things into your life that are so far from reality right now, but that's how God works, because he knows who you can become. He knows what he has put in you. And so he speaks to Abraham and says, I have a plan for you, Abraham. You're going to be a daddy. Not only a daddy, you're going to be the daddy of nations. And so I love how God gives him this promise. So let's dive right in today. I want to give you a quick 6 points on what we can do to learn to wait well. Here we go. Check it out. It says in Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Let me stop right there. This is why, in case you're wondering, like, I don't get the whole political thing about America trying to protect Israel. What's the deal? This is it. Because Israel is just Abraham's offspring, and God says, if you will protect Israel, Abraham's offspring, I'll bless you. If you go against them, God says, I'll be against you. This is why it's a big deal in our country that we need to protect Israel. Do you hear my heart here? This, God said it. So we got to do it. Now, let's keep going. He says, I will curse all the people on earth and bless. I'm sorry, let me back up. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. What that means is through Israel, we eventually get who? We get Jesus. And so that's how he blesses the rest of us. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Did you know the name Haran? This is a city he lived in. The name Haran means crossroads. Let me just ask you, are you at a crossroads in your life today? Maybe you're at a crossroads of saying, am I going to trust in my timing or God's timing? Am I going to trust in my ways or God's ways? So we have to learn to trust the Lord, and that puts it all at a crossroads. Haran was, in today, it would be modern-day Turkey, which is where Haran was. He was at a crossroads, and Abraham found himself at the crossroads at crossroads. Isn't that funny? And so he was like, okay, God, what do you have next for me? The Lord says, trust me and go. Pack up. Pack up, you need to go. Number one, do what God already told you to do first. Now, let me tell you something I've learned about God. He never gives you the complete script. So he says, hey, pack up all your stuff. You're going on a trip. Okay, awesome, God. Where are we going? God says, not going to tell you that yet. So you're like, but I don't know where I'm going. And God's like, I know, but you don't need to know where you're going, Abram. You just need to know me. So I just want to encourage you today, quit waiting to understand every step of your life before you take a step. You have to just take the step in faith and know that God will show you what the next step is when you take that step. Does that make sense? But we keep trying to plan our whole life out, but your life is not your own. Your life is God's. So because of that, God doesn't give you the whole script, because if he did, would you really even need him? You'd be like, okay, I got everything planned out till I die. I don't need you more, God, thanks. But God wants to be depended upon. So he's like, I'm going to give you the script. I'm going to give you it in portions. And then you got to trust him with the rest. So take the step of faith and trust God with the rest, and he'll show you. So Abram has got to go to his wife now, Sarai. She later named, later God changed her name to Sarah. But Abram has to go to Sarai and say, hey, babe, God told me to pack everything up. She's like, first of all, who's God? Right? That's her first question. Who is this God you speak of? Oh, yeah, the Lord spoke to me. And so this is the first time in history that God chose a man and said, I'm going to choose you and then choose your people. And then through your people, we're going to bless the whole world through Jesus, right? We didn't understand all that yet. Abram just said, some guy spoke to me, an entity, a spiritual being said, go. And so like most wives, she said, okay, well, how do I pack? Are we going to the mountains where it's cold? Are we going to go this summer? Do I need to pack a bathing suit? What do I need? And so he's like, oh, pack everything. Why? Because we're going on a road trip and we're not coming back. She's like, what? Okay, now think about this. Abram has to trust God that he can't see. She's got to trust that he knows what he's talking about to a God he can't see. So men, oftentimes we tell our wives, the Lord told me this, we need to go this direction. And your wife's looking at you going, yeah, you told me what the Lord told you last time and that didn't work out. So she not only has to trust God, she's got to trust that you know what you're doing. So that's a double trust right there, right? So maybe we should have a little more grace with our wives. Is that good, guys? Let's have a little more grace, because they're having to follow us, and that's not always easy, because we don't always know what we're doing, right? And so I want to encourage you, you just have to follow the Lord, trust that he knows where he's leading you, even when it doesn't make sense to you. So do what God told you to do first. Matthew 25 puts it this way. His master praised him for his good work. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, he told him. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Begin the joyous tasks I have assigned you. In other words, God says, I've already told you what to do this much. Have you obeyed me with that? This applies to all areas of our life. Maybe God says, I've given you this much money. Have you obeyed me with this much money? If you haven't, why are you asking me for more? So obey God with what you have. Obey God with the responsibility you have. Maybe you're saying, God, help me be an influence. God's like, but are you using the influence you have right now to honor me? If you're not, why would they give you more influence? I think it's funny now we have influencers. I think this is hilarious. They're like, oh, I'm an influencer. Years ago, my daughter and I went to Disney World, and she's like, hey, Dad, that's so-and-so. And I was like, who are you talking about? She goes, duh, duh. And I didn't know who it was, because I'm not a giant Instagram person. I was like, who is that? And she tells me, and they're both like extremely famous apparently online. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And so there were influencers, both of them, dating each other, probably because they knew they'd increase their influence to date each other. Really not probably about each other. But anyways, they were dating, and I was like, oh, okay. So we start talking, and Jessica, Sophia's, hey, I know who you guys are. And it was so funny. The guy was like, yeah, thanks. I mean, it was awesome. I was like, wow, this guy knows fully who he is. He had that aura about him. I was like, man, this guy is something. It was hilarious. Anyways, but they were influencers. But the funny thing about influencers in our world today is they call themselves influencers, but if they say one thing that goes out of step with the narrative, they're done. which means they're not influencing anyone. They're just big followers. Isn't that funny how that works? The people we call influencers are influencing crap. They have to actually toe the line perfectly with what the world says, or they're not going to be followed anymore. So it's kind of funny that in our world, we say you're an influencer. Really, you're just a big follower who's scared to death to say something wrong. You know who's an influencer? People who stand up for truth, who say, I'm going to honor God. And even if the world doesn't follow me, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. That's an influencer. Are we willing to be an influence by doing the right thing, saying the right thing, even when it is not popular? We have to speak the truth. Genesis 15. I wasn't going to say it, but I got to say it. Last week was so frustrating to me because God was blessing Easter like crazy. But in the middle of that, our nation decides to honor transgenderism on Easter. You don't tell me that's not an agenda. On the day we celebrate Christ, they celebrate sin. I got to call it out, guys. We're going to lose God's hand on our nation if we don't make a decision to say we will stand up against this because we want God to bless our children and our families. It's ridiculous, mind-blowing. They know what they're doing, guys. That's not, oh, it's just an accident. No, it's not. No way. This is way too thought out. Let's guard our nation and be the remnant and honor God. Listen, love everyone. I'm not saying don't love everyone. I mean, love everyone no matter the choices you're making. God loves everyone. Do you hear my heart? But it doesn't mean we don't stand for truth. I wasn't going to say it. I couldn't help it. Don't send me your emails. I won't respond. Here we go. Do what God already told you to do first. Number two, never give up on God's promises. Look what the scripture says. Genesis 15, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. He says, Abram, go outside. He's like, okay, Lord, what are you trying? He goes, look, count all the stars. See all those stars? You're going to have more kids than that. He's like, again, God, I have not a single child. I was like, I know, but go count the stars. Can you count them? He's like, no. He goes, exactly. That's how many descendants. You're not going to be able to count your descendants. He says this. He says, indeed, you will, if you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him his righteousness. Now, this is important. He says he believed God, so he was credited his righteousness. Now, I want to be real careful here. Christians become arrogant because we believe we are why we're righteous. We're not. None of us are righteous, not even one of us. God imparts righteousness on us. Does that make sense? So we should be humble about the truth. What I just said earlier, I really do mean that humbly. We are not perfect, but we still stand up for truth. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid to voice truth, but do it in a way that's humble because we are not righteous. God imparts righteousness on us. He credits, that's why it says in Scripture, for grace you've been saved. We are not good enough. Does that make sense? So it's important that we learn to stay humble. But never give up on God's promises. God says, Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless you with children. I'm going to bless you with nations. And God believed him. Philip Yancey has this great quote about doubt. Because if you're like me, God tells you some things in your life and you're thinking, is that really going to happen? Look at the scripture. Or let me give you this quote and then we'll look at some scripture. Philip Yancey says this, doubt always coexists with faith. For in the presence of certainty, who would need faith at all? I remain a Christian today due to my doubts. Wow. What I'm trying to encourage you to do is to doubt your doubts. We always doubt our faith, but God wants us to doubt our doubts. We always think, oh, I mean, I don't know if God's going to come through. We need to be thinking, I don't think God's not going to come through. God always comes through. When has God not come through for you? When has God not taken care of you? You know, some of you are like, man, I need God to provide, and I went through a really bad season. I barely made it, but you're here. So I guess God did take care of you, didn't he? So God always comes through. Can we give God some praise that we can trust him? God's got us. He takes care of us. Doubt your doubts. I remember when God told me years ago when I was in seminary that I was going to plant a church. I said, God, give me a great church. And God told me, I'm not going to give you a great church. I'm going to have you build it. And then I remember God stirring in me and saying, you're going to go plant a church. And I remember going to my wife and saying, hey, God told me we're going to plant a church. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, I think we're going to go plant a church. She said, where? I said, I have no idea. She said, so you don't know where you're going? I said, no, but I know God told me to plant the church. See, I was in seminary, and I really was frustrated. I didn't like it at all. I went to this really large, it was the largest seminary in the world in the time, at the time in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was there and I was going to school and I complained all the time. I'd come home and I'd say, babe, I don't need this school. This is ridiculous. And I don't even want to be here. And I would list off preachers that didn't have seminary degrees. Like, they don't have a seminary degree and they're fine. And they don't have one. And Jessica said, no, you need to stay with this. It's going to be a blessing. And so God gave her insight that I didn't have yet. She's like, you need this training. You need to get the right. I was like, fine, right? And so God was speaking to me through her. So I had to hang in there when I didn't want to be there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had to wait. I was like, okay, God, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna stay with this. I'm gonna get my schooling. More on that in a minute. This is really important. Never give up on God's promises. And I had to trust God that he was gonna bless me if I stayed with what he told me to do. You know, I had no idea, you know, 25, 26 years later from those days when I was in seminary to planting this church, I had no idea what God was gonna do. I moved to a town. I didn't know anybody. Kind of feel like Abraham a little bit. I didn't know anybody. Moved to the city, and you know, last week, because of God's faithfulness, because of your faithfulness to move service times to a service time you didn't want to go to, which made room in the primary hours. Some of you came on Friday and then served all day Sunday. Thank you. Many of you brought your friends, your family. You know, because of that, last week, we had the highest attendance in the history of our church. We had 24,472 people. That's unbelievable. And you know my favorite part about this? 777 people got saved last weekend. Don't tell me that number's not significant. How amazing is that? To God be the glory. God is getting glory. If we'll just trust him when he tells you something, he will come through. Do me a favor right now and list out some promises. Would you do that? If you got your phone, open up to the notes and just say, what has God promised me? And just list that out. Maybe for you, you're sick right now, but God promised you health. Claim that promise. Maybe God promised you that you'd be married one day. Maybe God promised your marriage would turn around. Maybe God promised you that child would come back to the Lord. Maybe God's promised you're going to overcome that addiction. What has God promised you? Stand on the promises of God in your life. He comes through. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. God comes through. He comes through for you. Never give up on God's promises. He will come through for you. And this is really important, though. Don't forget this one. Don't take matters into your own hands. Wait. Look what happens. Abram is waiting to have a baby. Him and Sarah are now active trying to have a baby. Can you imagine that? You know, he shows up 75 years old. Hey, baby. She's like, I haven't seen that look in your eye in a long time, Abram. What's going on? You know, whoa, 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 what are you doing, big boy? You know, all of a sudden he's like, hey, let's go. I mean, she's thinking like, I'm not sure all the piping works anymore. I'm not sure everything, all the plumbing is in the right place. Are you sure about this? And he's like, yeah, we got it. And so they begin to get active again, right? And all of a sudden, what happens? You know, they're trusting God, nothing happens. Have you ever been there? You're like, I did what God told me, nothing's happening. Come on, let's be honest. Can we be honest in the house of God? I'm trying to follow you, Lord, and it still doesn't happen. I'm telling all my friends, God told me he's going to come through. And I look a little foolish now because they're like, hasn't happened yet. Isn't that when you need faith? When it's not working? When it's not coming together? When you don't get the promotion? When you don't get pregnant? When you don't find a man or woman of your dreams? Will you trust God? Yeah, we talk big about, oh, trust God, he's going to bless you. And you will. But what about the time before that? Will we trust God with his promise without seeing it with our eyes? We have to trust the Lord, or we'll take matters in our own hands. Look what happens next. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Did you catch that? What was that? She says, go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar. And she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, this is all your fault. I love that. He's like, what? You told me. And she's like, I can't believe you slept with her. He's like, you said to do it, right? This is just straight up Mari Povich. I mean, right here. It just goes crazy. You're like, what are you thinking, right? She's like, I can't have a baby. I know she's young. She can get pregnant. Go sleep with her. He's like, okay. So he goes and sleeps with her, right? And now he's got a pregnant servant who's all of a sudden mistreating, you know, the mama of the house. The mama's like, it's either her or me. Who's going to go, Abram? And he's like, you got to be kidding this. And I love the fact that she goes, this is all your fault. Isn't that what we do with God? We make a dumb decision and we go, God, how can you let this happen to me? And God's like, I didn't choose to date that dude you met in the club. You did. God says, don't ask me to bless what I didn't start. How many of us have done that? Oh, I'm going to do it like the world and ask God to bless it. God's like, I don't work like that. You got to trust me. Don't take marriage. You know, I can't find a godly man. I'll just find a man and try to make him godly. Doesn't work. I'll just find some girl who's half Christian that, you know, barely knows anything about faith and try to convert them. You know, no, doesn't work. Well, I've been waiting for this promotion. Not happening. I'm just going to barge in my boss's office and tell him to give me a raise. I can tell you how that's probably going to go. It's going to lose your job. So we take matters into our own hands and it becomes a mess. So I want to challenge you, do not do this. Wait on the Lord. Is someone hearing God today? Trust in the Lord's timing. Do not take it in your own hands. That's when we mess things up. By the way, did you know that Hagar had a child and Hagar was put out by Abram and Sarah, which was unfair. It was unfair. It was his own foolishness that got him in this place. And God says, Hagar, I'm going to bless you too with your son, but you need to know something about your son. Your son will be against everyone. He'll be against all of his brothers. You know that boy's name was Ishmael, and Ishmael, through Abraham, is the father of Islam. Did you know what we're seeing across the world is simply prophesied? This is exactly what would happen. And guys, when we choose sin, when we choose to do things the wrong way, you have no idea the level of consequences it brings. We're still dealing with that consequence, aren't we? There are battles across the world over this. And so it was claimed, and you can read it yourself in Genesis 16, that this is going to happen. So that's the reality that we're in. Don't take matters in your own hands. Wait. And this is really important. Persist in prayer and obedience. Persist in prayer and obedience. Let me show you some scripture. It says in Genesis 18, this is an interesting thing. There's a story inside the story. The Bible is chock full of this. And I bet your life is like this too. God's giving this vision, but then there's these situations in the middle of your life before the vision comes, and you're like, God, I can't even get to the vision because I'm dealing with all this crap. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I can't even focus on what you have for me because I'm fighting this person, and this person said this, and they did that, and I'm so caught up in this drama. And God said, no, stay above the drama. Focus on my vision, right? So what happens is Abram has a nephew named Lot. Lot goes to stay at a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's like, we're going to destroy this place because they're not honoring me. And this is a huge thing, by the way. This has massive implications. You know, if you go today to the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was, archaeologists tell us that there's an extra level of sulfur in the dirt. Sulfur is what happens when fire hits. So God actually did, and we can prove it archaeologically, what he said he'd do when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Because why? Because they were sinning. In fact, this is Abram praying, trying to protect Lot, right? He prays to God. Then Abram spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? If I find 45 here, he said, I will not destroy it. He counts it down. He's trying to convince God, God, if there's only 10 people who are righteous, would you not destroy the city? God says, if I find 10, I won't destroy it. But guess what? God couldn't find 10, so he destroyed it. The reason I wanted to mention this, number one, is just because listen, guys, when I study a text, it's not my job to preach what I want. It's my job to preach what God's word says. So I've said some tough things today, but that's God has called me that. I'm not called to be popular. I'm called to be faithful to the truth. This scripture is important, and it has huge implications for our nation, because if we keep celebrating unrighteousness, do not expect God to keep his hand on our nation. I want to just say this loud and clear. The very people that a lot of people in this nation want to kick out are Christians. But we're the only reason God's hand is still on this nation. So we have to stand up for truth. I say that because our nation is at a crossroads. It's a huge crossroads. Let me show you another scripture. We're going to tie all this together. Look at this. It says in Genesis 22. This is another time. This is after God has given Abraham the child that God promised him already. He gave him Isaac. Okay. Look at the scripture. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. What? God, you promised me this child. God says, yeah, take the child up the mountain. I want you to kill him now for me. God, you're serious? Yeah, go up the mountain. So he tells his son, and for 4 days, they climb a mountain. They get to the top of it. God says, have your son lay down. His son was like a teenager. His son could have overpowered his father. His son chose to lay down. His son had to realize what was going on because his son kept asking, Dad, what are we taking for the sacrifice? He says, don't worry about that. Just keep going up. And he started to realize, wait, I think I am the sacrifice. Doesn't the Bible say to be a living sacrifice? So he lays down, chooses to lay down. He sees his father pull out his knife, raise it above him. And then God says, stop! Now I know I can trust you, Abram, even with the blessing. Be very careful that you don't worship the blessing over the blesser. So it says, I'll trust you with this. Can I tell you something I do often, at least 3 or 4 times a year, you know what I do? I resign from this church. A lot of times God just says, you need to resign. I'm like, okay, God, it's your church. It's not mine. We were at a real critical point in our church years ago, and I felt the Lord just telling me, you're going to resign. I was like, yeah, it's not my church. And right about the time, God says, okay, good. Now I'm in charge again. Shut up and listen. Do what I tell you to do. I am reminded often that I am not the senior pastor of this church. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Whatever he tells me to do, no matter how unpopular it is, one day I may preach something that causes people to leave, not to come. That's okay. Are we faithful or are we shooting for popularity? Will we obey God when it's hard? And so Abram had to sacrifice his son, but then God said, no, you just proved to me you're willing to do it. Then God provided a ram, which is a prophecy of how God will one day provide Jesus for the sacrifice of all of our sins. And so, of course, he doesn't have to kill him, but he prays and he obeys the Lord. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to pray and are we willing to obey? There's a true story about the Berlin Wall. Most people don't know it. We think the Berlin Wall fell in East Germany because of politics, but it wasn't. Actually, in 1953, there was a huge uprising against communism in Leipzig. That's a town in East Germany. They squelched it, killed everyone who tried to overturn the government. And then in the 1970s, this is decades later, there were more uprisings, squelched them again. But in the late 70s, a group of people, 5 to 10 people, began to pray in a small town in East Germany and ask God to turn the tide of their nation, to give them freedom. That 5 to 10 people eventually turned to 1,000 people, to 5,000, to 10,000 people, and eventually to over 1 million people every night grabbing candles, lighting them, and walking to the streets praying for communists to end, for their communist party to finally be overthrown. In 1989, the wall came down. This is a great quote. I want to give this to you. This is one of the government leaders of communism in East Germany after the wall fell said this. He said, we were prepared for every eventuality, but not for candles and prayer. That's what did it. Guys, this is an election year. Can I let you in on something right now? I don't care who you vote for. It won't make a difference. It won't. Should you vote? Some of you are mad right now. I can't believe you said that. I thought you need to tell them how to vote, Pastor. No, I don't. God's in control. God's got us. But I need to warn you about something right now. If you think you can legislate change, you can't. We need to pray as a nation. Yes, vote. I believe you should. But we need to pray that God's hand would not be lifted from our nation. We need prayer, guys. We need to call on God to change our leaders. We need to call on God to change us. How can we expect the world to be following Christ when Christians aren't following Christ? So we have to be faithful first. So I want to challenge you. What changes nations? What changes people? Prayer. Let's call to God, pray, and obey. Next week, by the way, I'm talking about King David. We're just going to go through different characters the Bible had to wait. But we're not talking about King David next week. We're talking about Kid David. Because God told David he was going to be king when he was a kid. And then he had problem after problem after problem after that. So maybe you're like, Pastor, I can't even think about the vision God's given me. I have so many problems. Congratulations, you're just like David. Be sure to be here next week as we talk about that, how God will use every one of those problems in your life. Be sure to be here. Look what happens next. Genesis chapter 14. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, this is Lot, he was taken captive, he called out to 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit of as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. So this is a convoluted story, but let me just try to summarize it. Lot made poor decisions, ended up with the wrong people, got in trouble. They took him and his family, and then Abram was like, what do I do? And God told him, go get them. So he went, he had to fight a battle that wasn't his. You ever had to fight a battle that wasn't even yours? You're like, you made a mess, and now I got to clean it up. That's life. Right? And so that's what he did. But God was using that to prepare him, because how could he have fought a battle unless his men were trained? So this is a huge thing. Number 5, prepare while you're waiting. Prepare while you're waiting. If I could summarize the message in one sentence, here it is. Training is the answer. Training is the answer. The reason why God hasn't given you what you want yet is because you're not ready for it. He loves you enough not to give you more than you can handle. So instead, he wants you to go into training. If I said today, I want you to go run 26 miles right now, how many of you guys would say, that's not going to happen? But if I said, download an app called Couch to 10K or Couch to Marathon, and then follow the rules of that every day, you'll start by walking, then running, then you know, half a mile, then a mile, and then 6 months, you'll be able to run 26 miles. You could do it. Almost anyone could do it if they trained. If I said to the men in here, I want you to bench 300 pounds, you'd be like, there's no way I can do it. You could if you trained. You could. You can add 100 pounds to your bench press within 6 months if you train hard enough. It's very doable. My sons are living proof of that, by the way. You got to go into training. I want to challenge you that training is the answer. It says in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that in a race, all the runners that run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, train yourself to be godly. When I was in seminary, I was so frustrated. I was telling you earlier, I went to breakfast with some guys one time, and I was complaining, I'm just so tired of school, I hate this. And finally, one guy turned to me, he goes, if you hate it so much, then quit. I was like, whoa. This guy got up in my face. He was like, I'm serious. He goes, Bill, all you do is complain. You don't have to be here. Really humbled me. I was like, oh, man, you're right. I went back to seminary, and I felt the Lord speaking to me, saying, are you going to take this serious or not? I have given you access to one of the best schools in the nation, and you're not even taking it serious. See, the issue isn't your grade, students. The issue is you're blowing off access that God gave you. That's what's hurting your future. And so it challenged me. And so that day I began two seminaries. I went to class, studied, poured myself into it, but then I also went to a section of the library that was for church planting and church growth. It wasn't even that big of a section. I put my hand on one end of the books and on the other book, other end of the book. I squeezed them together and I unloaded them and I put them all on a desk, on a table, and I got a sheet of paper out and I cataloged the name of every book and author. And over the next 2 years, I read 70 books on church planting and church growth. What that allowed me to do was when God told me where I was going to go, that I was going to come to Corpus Christi, when I got here, I didn't know a single person in the city, but I knew what to do. And I applied my training. Does that make sense? Do you know I still go back to some of those books, and they still help us to this day? Guys, this place is a miracle. It is. But God will put you in training before you get the miracle. Amen. You need to learn. Listen, some of you right now, some of the singles in here are like, I'm just praying, God give me a promise. I'm going to meet the man or woman of my dreams. Tell me about that man or woman. Oh, they're going to be in great shape. Are you? Oh, well, I mean, you know. They're going to be financially astute. Are you? Well, I mean, I got some credit card debt, you know. I mean, I just got eventually. Well, so they're going to be educated, going to be going somewhere in their life. Are you educated? Are you going somewhere in your life? So let me get this straight. You want to attract something that you're not. You don't attract what you want. You attract who you are. So if you want that, you got to become that. Are you hearing my heart right now? I hope I'm stepping on some toes. I'm meaning to right now. Listen, guys, God calls me to comfort the afflicted, but today I'm afflicting the comfortable. I want to challenge you. Don't ask God to bless you when you're not ready for it. You know, if you're like the football player who's got his shoes untied, turned around on the bench looking at the cheerleaders, and you're wanting the coach to call you in the game, you're not even ready. Lace up, get your head in the game, so that when he calls you, you're ready to go. So let me just ask you this simple question. Are you in training or not? We should always be training for the next step of our life. Otherwise, you're simply not ready. I tell my pastors, my leaders here at church, I say, if 50 people knocked on your door today and said, we